This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Michael Heck's favorite Taylor Swift song. He's got the outfit picked out, the boots, the glitter, the jewelry, everything to go along with that song. And he's ready for this weekend. The Michael Heck joins us. Or maybe not.
No. I'm just trying to figure out, like, are we going to do this entire show using, like, Taylor Swift lines? Is that what we're trying to do here? I've lost my voice. This whole thing has gotten me. I'm just, I got to shake it off, I guess.
Well, that's true. You do have to shake it off. And I'm told that you probably sang that song at least 300 times in preparation for this weekend, and that's why you lost your voice.
That feels like that's about right. But, Newell, you know, I'd marry you with paper rings. That's how I feel about you, you know?
So what happened, Michael?
Karma is a breeze in my hair on the weekends, Newell. I'll tell you, man, I don't know, but we've got so much going on. It's so much fun. And this Taylor Swift thing is pretty stunning. It actually is going to be more intensive in terms of human beings in the city, in terms of bodies, than the Super Bowl, because you've got 3 times 75,000 people, right? That's, you know, 2 and a quarter. Then you got, like, the stragglers like me and you that are just going to be out there buying merchandise. I mean, right. I think we could realistically have a quarter million Swifties and their parents in the city for these next few days. The Super Bowl, although it's seen by 200 million worldwide, you probably only get, 150 at most in the city, because that's double the capacity of the dome. So this is one hell of a stress test.
No, absolutely. I had Stan Harris on earlier from the Louisiana Restaurant Association. He said the restaurants are happy. I talked to hoteliers over this past week. Their OCC rates are great. Higher than they've been in a long, long time. I went to the opening of Caesars last evening. That was exciting. They're ready. New hotel is up and running and ready to take folks on, and high demand. And you can just feel it in the streets.
You can feel it. I mean, it's got that. So, you know, like before a home game for the Saints, there's that, like, nervous excitement in the streets. You can just kind of feel it. There's, like, an electricity. I have to say, it's got the same feeling now. I was in a meeting at the city this morning. We're talking about the preparation. We're getting Duncan Plaza all cleaned up. And what I'm really excited about relative to the Super Bowl is that we're going to be doing things for Taylor Swift, like having 75,000 people live streaming her for 3 hours, that if we pass that, then that means that our internet's going to be good in the dome for the game. We're going to be doing Uber and Lyft from Duncan Plaza. If that works, then we're good for the game. We're going to be monitoring the airport and seeing what happens with TSA and what happens with Uber and Lyft there and baggage claim. And if it works for T-Swift, then we're going to be good for the Super Bowl. And we're not going to be perfect, but on Monday we're going to do an after-action meeting, and I think we'll have learned a lot. So, I guess we owe a debt to Taylor, and hopefully we can survive the great war of the next 3 days.
Weather looks like it's going to be phenomenal, a little bit on the warmer side, but doesn't look like it's going to be a problem at all, which always helps. And then you have the double whammy. We're talking to Stan about this as well. You know, the Friday before Halloween is always a big night or big afternoon in the French Quarter as well.
Yeah, no, it's on. It's, you know, Halloween weekend, October weather. But, you know, there is a, I think between these activities and the crime continuing to do much, much better than it was, you know, actually improving at one of the fastest rates in the country. The infrastructure getting done, my personal pothole has been largely completed. It needs to be recovered, but it's been done. I think there's, you know,
it's a two-phase pothole. It was that big. It has to be filled in.
Yeah, it's a two-phase. It's a double. Well, first it was first a sewer and water board fix. They had to fix the water leak. Then they have to go over and do the street. And they did the first part when the Saints were away. They put a temporary patch on top of it. And for everybody who's listening, my personal pothole is the one on Poydras across Claiborne as you're getting onto I-10. And then they're going to have to come back and just do a final kind of milling to make it all nice. But look, by the time we're done, Newell, you're going to be able to start at the underpass kind of by Mrs. Benson's, you know, Mercedes-Benz, you know, van thing. You're going to be able to strap on your old school roller skates you used to use at Airline Skate, the one with the four wheels on each skate, the white patent leather.
Absolutely.
You're going to be able to go all the way down Poydras Street, you know, just smooth as ice, you know, with your Walkman on and your leg warmers. I mean, it's ready for you, Newell. It's ready.
Boy, if that doesn't sound like a self-description of him at one point in time in his life and how long his hair was and whether or not he wore it in a ponytail at that point, it would be interesting as well. Did you wear a sweatband, too?
No, yeah, I I wore sweatbands. I never was able to grow my hair long or feather it. It didn't cooperate. So I just got kind of this, like, you know, fro-looking thing that didn't really work.
Oh, well, you missed the whole disco scene then if you weren't able to feather your hair, right?
Well, yeah, my thing is, so look, I was born in 1970, and so a little bit younger than you. You were there for the real sweet spot. I kind of caught the tail end of it. You know, I was kind of coming into my heyday, you know, in the 90s, and that was like the days of like the Palace Theater and such. But I was a little bit young for the real go-go 80s. So you'll have to tell me about how that was like, Noel.
Absolutely. Michael, there seems to be a little bit of controversy, confrontation in the management of homeless encampments in the ramp up to Taylor Swift. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, I understand is going on there. It's kind of being made into, I think, more than it really is. You know, there's been this last remaining encampment, which is on it's on Calliope from Loyola, and then kind of up past the UPT, up kind of towards the arena. And they've made great progress to that point. I think about 500 people have been rehoused. Most of Claiborne is clear. Most of Calliope is clear. But that last little part is problematic, not just because it's large and it's taken a long time to find individuals housing, but it's dangerous because you've got people crossing over Loyola where it goes into Simon Bolivar, crossing over Earhart from the bus station. And so, you know, it's not a good situation for the homeless. It's not a good situation for residents. And I think what's happening is that the encampment's not being closed, but it's just being consolidated down a couple of blocks so that people are being taken off of Loyola and that dangerous part by Earhart or the bus station and put into a place where they're still going to be there waiting for housing vouchers, but they're not going to be, you know, kind of out there on the street, which again is not good for anyone really.
Desire to clean it up, right? I mean, that's the entree to where all the activity is going to be, and those that are coming in from out of town, the first impression is the last impression. You come down off the interstate, and if you're dumped into that morass, it's not a good thing.
I mean,
we've only known about this like for what, a year and a half?
It would seem to me that
we would have done a little bit more planning as to how we were going to address this situation as opposed to arguing about this on Wednesday before a Friday event.
Yeah, you know, this isn't a secret. And I think that, you know, the challenge here, Newell, is that, you know, everybody wants to have compassion and do things in a humane way. But the situation with the homeless, you know, has to exist in the larger context of other citizens and visitors. And it's actually, you know, what somebody who's a homeless advocate said to me, and it stuck with me because they were a homeless advocate, is they said, you know, these people are citizens. They've got rights, but they've got obligations too. And they still have to follow the law. And, you know, the law says things like, you know, you can't camp out, you know, under state, you know, state infrastructure property. It's dangerous for the infrastructure, dangerous for people. You obviously can't, you know, do illegal drugs. You know, there are things. And so there is a balance. And look, we've made good progress. I think it's important for those encampments not to be visible for visitors coming right into the city because it's not indicative of our overall situation. Our total population living on the streets right now is somewhere around 500. So it's a fraction of most other cities that have thousands or tens of thousands. And so I think it's unfair to the city to give the impression that that's what's going on when in fact it's one of the last few pockets. So I think that the approach that's being taken is a moderate one. I think it's a reasonable one. I think it's being done with considerations of dignity and safety. And I think, you know, it's going to take us one step closer towards getting in a good place for the Super Bowl.
Why do we give them the opportunity to choose where?
Yeah, there
I don't understand the inhumanity or the not being sympathetic or empathetic to the plight if we choose where. Why do they get to choose where? I mean,
this is a very fair and very real question. And if we were off the air and I was having a beer, I would give you a lot of my thoughts, not just from New Orleans, but you got to remember, Newell, you know, I lived for a number of years and just came back from visiting San Francisco. So I've seen I can see what happens if this stuff is allowed to metastasize and really grow into a major problem. It's deeply inhuman. It's terrible for the economy. And so, I don't know, for lack of a better expression, Newell, I think that tough love is really what's required. There's nothing compassionate about allowing somebody to live out on the street, struggling with drugs and mental issues, you know, psychological issues. So, you know, to some degree, Newell, this reminds me of the conversation we were having a few years ago about the police. And that was when, you know, the very strange defund the police movement, you know, got a little bit of traction. And I think we were all kind of scratching our heads saying, wait, what? Is this really what most citizens want? Is this really what makes sense? And the pendulum had to swing back, and it has. And so this feels, in a generic sense, somewhat similar to that. There just needs to be a resetting of a pendulum to come up with an answer that is that's better for all citizens, you know. So that's
absolutely
what's happening.
Let's pivot, Michael, because this is big news. Speedier screening, smoother travels at the airport because of new technology. This is interesting. What's this about?
So our airport is beautiful. Our airport's consistently ranked one of the best new airports in the country. But occasionally I'll get these you know, angry emails of people that are showing up at TSA and the line is just too long. And there are a number of reasons for that, but for the Super Bowl particularly, there are going to be some changes that are going to make it better. The first thing is that all 17 of the lanes are now going to have the most current system, which is where there's those rollers and the box pops up, and then you use it and it goes through and then you pop it down again. And so that's going to speed things up. So we're going to get away from those metal you know, kind of like examination tables that we have in some of the, you know, in some of the lanes now. So we're going to have the most up-to-date equipment. Another thing they're going to do is that they're going to bring in dogs that can do, that can inspect a line. And once a dog has sniffed you effectively, then you're, as if you're a TSA pre, you get to keep your shoes on. So that speeds up the process as well. And then we're just going to have more TSA agents coming in. And that should help as well. So I think the airport is aware of the challenge. And again, we're going to see how things go for, you know, Taylor Swift, and that'll give us an indication of if we're going in the right direction. But the TSA section is going to be modernized.
Good. Sounds great. Went through it the other day, and it did take a pretty good amount of time. Michael, I was able to attend the grand opening of Caesars last night, and that place has really just been transformed into something incredible and beautiful. $435 million worth of renovation to the casino hotel. And they always are bragging about that whole foot of Canal Street, foot of Poydras, and all points in between. Talking about Four Seasons, their hotel, the casino, and so much that's going on. Spanish Plaza behind it, the renovation of the aquarium. They're really excited about what's happening down there. And it's really good to hear competitors talk really positive about one another, too. And that's refreshing.
It's amazing what's happening down there, the money that's been invested, the quality, what's going on there. I mean, you and I broadcast from the Caesars before the opening, and I mean this as a compliment. That casino is now at a Vegas new casino level. I mean, it looks great. It feels great. It smells great. I mean, it's really a nice space, and there is a good synergy that's going on. One of the lines that was said is somebody associated with the Four Seasons said that Nobu is going to be the most popular restaurant in the Four Seasons. And yeah. They meant it as kind of a joke and they certainly didn't mean it to, you know, to slight the outstanding restaurants, you know, Miss River and Lynx Restaurant up on the fifth floor. But it means that if you're now a resident or a guest at the Four Seasons, you now have another option. And so that's called in economics agglomeration. So you're getting this good agglomeration effect. And then we're going to be working on a mural for the ferry terminal. John Besh is going to be having his comeback with a new restaurant on Spanish Plaza in the ferry terminal. So it's pretty remarkable what's happening down there at the foot of, again, a street that I've always called our Champs-Élysées. And we're not there yet, but we're kind of using the Super Bowl as our Olympics, and we're going to keep pushing to make Canal Street what it once was and what it can be.
Idea Village has now opened up some opportunities. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so Idea Village, who's one of our good partners, is opening up a new opportunity for people who have startups. And so if you're want to raise money, $1 million is what they're targeting over the next 2 months, then they want you to apply for their accelerator. And so you just can go to ideavillage.org. Applications are due November 1st. But if you're looking for money and you're looking for mentorship and you're looking to get kind of a BBB stamp of approval on your nonprofit, I highly recommend. What did Mitch used to say? I commend to you the Idea Village Accelerator. And so go to the Idea Village website and apply.
Absolutely. Got to get to a break. We are visiting with Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc. And we will be right back, folks. Stay with us. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc. Michael, I was bragging about the service that you're providing on your website that folks going to the Taylor Swift concert may want to visit, where you outline where all of the work is going on and there are some tough passageways because roads are torn up.
Oh, that's a great point, Newell. Yeah, check out nolastreets.info, nolastreets.info. It's not a lot. It's just going to show you the streets that are totally shut and the ones that have major blockage. So it's just a good general map to avoid total disaster with your children.
Because I was driving around yesterday, and there are some streets within just a block or two of the dome that are ripped up. So you need to be aware of that, because the way that some of that lays itself out, you could get caught in gridlock real easy.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to neaten things up as much as possible, but they're definitely going to still be some things that are not normal or not totally open. So I check it out on your phone, nolastreets.info, before you try to get close.
Michael, we have a special guest.
Yeah, really excited about this. This is a good friend of mine from the great parish of Tangipahoa. It's Ginger Cantalosi. She is the executive director of Tangi Economic Development, and she's here to discuss a bunch of exciting projects and announcements they've had recently up in Hammond and in Byron. It's great to have Ginger on.
Ginger, welcome to the show. And I understand just last week y'all had some announcements that were game changers for you guys. Tell us about it.
We did. Specifically, last week, and good morning, by the way. Hello, Michael. Hello, Newell. Thank you both for having me on this morning.
Well, it's our pleasure.
We had an announcement go out from Louisiana Economic Development. Companies, one of the manufacturing companies that has been in Tangipahoa for quite some time, Graham Packaging, they're a manufacturer for Folgers, actually, for the containers and stuff that Folgers Coffee is sold in. They announced a $35 million project. They're doing an expansion and some updates on their equipment. A little more advanced manufacturing to have them be a little bit more productive. Going to retain those 100 jobs that they provide here in the community. And we're very happy that they've chosen to do that. So that went out last week and got a lot of good feedback from that. But we have a lot of other stuff going on in Tangi too. Hard to keep up with all of it, actually, which is a great problem to have.
Ginger, if you don't mind, I want to interrupt right there, and I want to get both you and Michael in on this conversation. Michael, we have talked about this a lot, how, you know, something good happens in New Orleans, obviously, Folgers, and then a byproduct of that, and I did not know that this Graham Packaging, I knew of Graham, but I did not know that they were predominantly doing the Folgers work. Those are the kind of synergies that you love to see happen, right? I mean, that's what we talk about, and here it is. It's a great example. I'd like for both of y'all to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's there is, you know, here's the example I always use. You know, I ask people, how big is Atlanta? They always say 5 million, 6 million. I say, no, the population of Atlanta technically is 480,000, but it operates as a metro that it calls itself Atlanta that's 80% the size of Massachusetts. That is the right economic unit. And so, yeah, things that are happening in Tangi are absolutely supporting things that are happening on the South Shore and vice versa. If we build the new terminal down in St. Bernard, that's going to create thousands of jobs on the North Shore. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Go ahead, Ginger.
We're counting on it. We're counting on that, Michael, and very much looking forward to that. But we do see a lot of investment here on the North Shore as a direct result of businesses either operating or expanding, on the South Shore. And we have the space, we have the availability, we have the willingness to welcome those companies to expand here or to add additional locations here. Graham specifically has a huge footprint of the physical space alone. They have two facilities, actually. One is located off of Pride Drive in the industrial area around Hammond North Shore Regional Airport. That's their actual manufacturing facility. And then they have a storage facility that's probably close to 200,000 square feet on High Park Boulevard that literally just stores the containers until they're ready to be shipped out. So obviously the manufacturing part is the one that's doing the expansion, but they have a pretty large footprint here. They employ a lot of people. It's a good company to work for, and they've been around for quite some time.
Ginger, when you tell that story that we just talked about, you know, something happens in New Orleans and then There's a service side to this that, you know, may locate on the North Shore and in particular Tangipahoa. Do people tend to believe you? I mean, I've talked about this with folks and people always kind of look at me like, yeah, you know, really, I don't know. Does that really happen? I said, yeah, it happens. Do you get a similar reaction?
I don't know why anyone wouldn't believe me because it's true information that I can right. show you and prove.
But do you ever get that sense that people
see,
like kind
of
like
a lot of
really?
Well, maybe local folks don't really see the connection there. But right. if you look at it from a national perspective, you know, we're a region. And for all intents and purposes, being 45 minutes, you know, 50 minutes from downtown New Orleans, we are New Orleans. Like, in a lot of different respects, when people, you know, companies, global companies look at the southeast part of the United States and they focus in on the greater New Orleans region, we're part of that. To someone, you know, on the other side of the country, we are New Orleans. I mean, we're so close. I mean, spitting distance is what we call it, right?
Right,
but,
right.
I'll use an example, as a matter of fact. And this is great because this is how we benefit from each other. The North Shore benefits from the South Shore and the South Shore benefits from us. Yesterday, we had, yesterday was a great day in Tangipahoa Parish, by the way. We had the official corporate ribbon cutting for the new Niagara bottling manufacturing plant right at I-12 and Highway 445 right there in that northwest quadrant. They actually started operations back in February, but yesterday was kind of like the official grand opening where the corporate folks came in and it was a big to-do and whatever. And on the banner behind the podium where the presentation was being done, it said Niagara Bottling New Orleans facility. And it's in Ponchatoula. It's technically in Ponchatoula, right?
Right.
And we see that all the time. Right across the street from that facility is a very large luxury RV resort that has about 400 spaces and about 40 cabins around a big lake. Gets a lot of traffic through there. And it's called Sun Outdoors North Shore New Orleans Park.
Right.
So, you know, we are New Orleans for all intents and purposes, you know. And we do have lots of companies that have expanded or even moved from the South Shore up here because they want to expand and maybe they're landlocked and they don't have the space down there, you know. And so we see a lot of people looking up here, north of I-12. They want to be here for a lot of different reasons, you know. They don't have room to expand in the city and they want to come up here and we are more than happy to accommodate them. So it's a shared benefit, I think.
Now, I understand that you guys have announced some other projects recently as well. Tell us about those.
We do. So I feel like we've been talking about the Niagara Project for a long time, but it is very significant. And we worked on that with Gano Inc. Months and months and months and months and months and months before they land here. Yeah, and that was great. They focused in on Tangipahoa Parish and ended up purchasing that property and have had a really good experience. The building is almost 500,000 square feet. It went up in 11 months. They were open and operating. It was like the speed at which they put that building up was amazing to watch that happen. And they're open and operating. They manufacture the bottles, the caps, they ship out. They manufacture 2 million bottles of water for every 8-hour shift.
Wow.
Out of that
facility. And then you should also mention, sorry, Ginger, but they've got this new innovation. It's space saving for dehydrated water that they're working on, which I think will be a real innovation in the market when it comes out.
It is, and luckily that doesn't take up a lot of space at all. So we're able
no
to.
Kidding.
You don't
it's
even.
Joke.
Do you know you don't? You don't even need a permit for that, Michael. Did you know you don't even need a permit to manufacture dehydrated water?
Ginger, I'm sure they're still going to protest us. I'm sure they're still going to protest us. It's got molecules.
You're warning me. Somebody's going to be mad about it. I'm hearing that. I hear that they're producing that in the same building as the sugar-free cotton candy.
Exactly. And Michael's good jokes.
That's
good
a minute for both of y'all.
I'm sure the listening audience is going, what in the hell are they talking about?
I'm sure they've already switched channels, Newell. I'm sorry. This is terrible for you.
Listen, if you've known Michael Heck for more than half a minute, you know he has a very unique sense of humor, and I do appreciate it.
Absolutely.
He always makes me laugh. But no, we do. We have, of course, you know, that project was really great for our community, created a lot of really good paying jobs. We have really been very active in the renewable energy kind of sector that's everywhere these days. You know, we've been working with several different companies on different solar energy manufacturing projects. One is well underway and under construction. That's the Next Era AMEET Solar Project up in the northwest part of the parish, and also a significant investment. That one is under construction at present, and we have one coming up another one right behind that, that's been permitted and waiting to break ground on another 1,500 acres that will be manufacturing solar energy. And so we're happy to be, you know, part of both of those projects. They are incredibly large, significant investments for our parish. One is right around $169 million, and the other one's $250 million. And the parish will definitely see some benefits from that. You know,
absolutely.
And there are several in queue behind that are very interested too. So we've spent a lot of time recently working on those projects. And a lot of our, you know, legacy companies that we have that have been here for years and years have had some really substantial expansions lately. So we're happy about that. We're happy to support those existing businesses. I'll use an example, Intralox, of course, you know, just underwent
a $57
million.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. Yeah, that was a big...
You're familiar with Latrum, which is their division of Latrum out of Harahand, and they just added an additional 300,000 square feet to their footprint, their physical footprint, which will more than double their manufacturing capacity, and they'll be bringing on another 400 full-time employees over the next 3 or 4 years, which is very significant for this area, and we are happy about that. A lot of stuff flies under the radar, too. You know, you're not going to see it in the press.
Ginger,
you know,
I hate to interrupt you, but we're running out of time. Just want to congratulate you on all the great projects that you have coming your way, and it's great to see that Tangipahoa Parish is really knocking it out the park, because it's important for all the parishes that touch at Lake Pontchartrain Basin to succeed for everyone throughout Southeast Louisiana. So thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Yeah. Got to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc. Michael, it's really great to hear about this positive movement in Tangipahoa Parish.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you brought up a really good point about the way the region works together. I said, as Ginger was talking, it reminded me of something else that I think it's worth kind of just touching on, and that is, why is Tangipahoa and why is Hammett particularly doing so well in economic development? And I think it comes back to when people ask me, what is economic development? The best definition that I've ever heard is economic development is about creating the conditions where companies want to invest their capital and people want to raise their families. I think that's pretty self-explanatory, right? You know, it's about stability. It's about safety. It's about amenities. And if you do that, if the soil is fertile that way, you're going to grow companies and you're going to grow families. And I know that sounds kind of remedial, but it's kind of what it comes back to, if you're able to do clean, safe, beautiful, your all your problems are going to be growth problems.
Yeah, you know, and there are always these stories, and I use this, and it sounds cliche, and it is, but the little engines that could, you know, they have something to prove and are out there proving it every day, right?
And you're right.
You know, and you see this over and over again, and then before you know it, they're not a little engine anymore. They're a big engine. And
these places that are smaller but have attributes, these kind of third-tier cities, with the right direction, they can do great over time. I mean, some other examples of it are Chattanooga in Tennessee is growing gangbusters because they're really well-run. Asheville in North Carolina, of course, has had a major setback because of the flooding. But given their leadership, I don't have any doubt that they're going to continue to do well over time. These kind of tertiary communities that have a good sense of who they are and offer those conditions for companies and for families, they can do great. I mean, it's sometimes the big cities, what I say is that, they suffer from winning, and that creates an opportunity for the rest of us.
Absolutely. Michael, big weekend headed our way. What are your plans? You're going to partake in the Swifty invasion?
No, I'm merely going to aid and abet. So my brother is going to take the El Camino to escort my sister-in-law and my two nieces down to the show. So I'm providing, some support, some ancillary support. But mostly I'm just waiting and watching.
Well, I'll be Ubering my gang around is what they tell me the plans are for me. So that's where I'll be.
Yeah, and look, I just checked with the team, Newell, and they say that NOLASStreets.info has been updated. So I do encourage people to go and check that out before they make the foray downtown. You know, or to have your Uber driver check it out if you're in the Uber as well.
No doubt. And I will be doing that myself as well. Michael, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Newell, thank you so much. I'll see you at the show.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for New Orleans. We'll talk about their preparations for the Swifty invasion and the coordination that's necessary. And then we'll talk with Mike Haas at 12:30, the manager of media relations at ASM. They're the folks that manage the Superdome and the arena. And we're going to get into all the logistics of what's going to be happening around the footprint of the dome and the arena, the ingress, the egress, all of those things. You definitely want to listen to both of these segments. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.